Amen. All right. Pass me my little device down there, honey. Thank you. You all see this? I would imagine everybody here has seen one of these. It was invented 240 years ago. Isn't that amazing? 240 years. And I wondered whether you could still get them. I thought, oh, they've been bypassed. These days we've got LED torches and gas lanterns, and why would you fiddle with something like this? So anyhow, we were able to, you can still purchase them. And what I've heard is that the fishermen love them. They were invented, or the guy who invented it was from Switzerland, actually. And he made this so that in the midst of a storm, it wouldn't go out. And so these things will burn through anything. They've been used on ships, been used in on farms for years, and used by people. I had one for years and years, and eventually I thought, I'll throw this out because it's, you know, who's ever going to use it? So we had to go and buy this one so I could illustrate what I want to say this morning. But what is it? It's a storm lantern, often called a hurricane lantern, or sometimes just a kerosene lantern. And I want to use it for an illustration this morning. So I'm going to light it and hope that it doesn't blow me up. And if it does, just remember I love you, all right? Now a little twinkle won't work down here. There you go. Ah, there we go. I've got lit the wick. Yes, we're burning. Now we'll set off the smoke alarm. Hope you can all see that, and I'm going to make a point with that later on, but I'll let that burn while I'm speaking. I'm not sure how long it'll go for. If it goes out, you'll remember that it was a light, won't you? Today is a unique day. I don't know whether you're aware of it, but today is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday occurs... Oh, that smells. That's probably why people don't use them anymore. Pentecost Sunday occurs 50 days from the day that Jesus rose from the dead. So if you count the first day as one, then we get 7 weeks later to today, that's 50. And so that's a special day for the church. Jesus said at the end of the book of John, when he was ascending to heaven, he said, "Stay in Jerusalem till you receive power from on high, when the Holy Spirit comes on you." Then in the book of Acts, once again, he was speaking to the people and he said, "And you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So the purpose of the Holy Ghost coming was to make us witnesses unto the Lord. And then on the day of Pentecost, which, you know, was that time, there came the rush, the sound of a rushing mighty wind. The sound, not the actual wind, didn't blow the windows in, but the sound of it. I believe it was the breath of God blowing, and it said the 120 who were in the upper room at the time saw tongues of fire over their heads, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Some of those languages were known languages because the people outside of the group there heard them, and it caused thousands of people to be added to the church that day. So the day of Pentecost really is the beginning of the church of Jesus Christ, and it was 2,000 years ago. And it's continued to today. It's multiplied throughout the world. There is estimated 2 billion people who call themselves Christians. So that's an exciting thing in our world. That's about a quarter of the population of the world. And it's a great day. But sadly, in Christianity sometimes, people say, "Yeah, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. I can speak in tongues." And that's all they do. It's a bit like when I was in the Scouts. You could get badges for doing things. And so I got a badge for cooking. I've never cooked since, but I got a badge for cooking. And so you can see I wear the badge. I can get the shirt out, show you the badge. No, that's not the point. When we receive the Holy Ghost, something is supposed to happen in our lives. We're supposed to have an anointing of the Holy Spirit upon us. If you've received Jesus as your Savior, you have the Holy Spirit living within you. That's what the Bible tells us. But there's a further step. This morning we're going to do water baptism. That's a further step. Getting water baptized will not get you into heaven. You've got to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. But there's more. And that's involved with the water baptism and then the baptism in the Holy Ghost, which is a release of the Holy Spirit in our life, where we sort of submit to the Holy Ghost and we can speak in a different language. It's not something that's it's so weird. It's just so wonderful. And this morning, you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You don't need somebody to lay hands on you. You simply have to ask God for it. Say, Lord, would you bring this into my life? Can I have the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Because that's what the Bible says. If you ask, you will receive. And then you believe. And don't look for some flash of lightning from heaven. Don't look for a shaking. I've seen people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit under dramatic circumstances. But many of us received it sort of as a very quiet thing. And you can receive it anywhere. You don't have to be in church. You can be at home, be driving your car. You just got to relax and say, Holy Spirit, I just welcome you in my life. And then you begin to release that language. It's not something you think of. It's something that's received from your spirit. But what's unique about today is that it's a special Jewish holiday as well. At 6 p.m. on Friday night through to 6 p.m. Monday night, the Jewish fraternity will observe Shavuot. Now, Shavuot was the giving of the five books that Moses wrote, called the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. And so they celebrate. It's also, I think, Feast of Wheat as well. And it's and God said, you will celebrate that 50 days from the Passover. So when they came out of Egypt, the children of Israel came out of Egypt, God brought the 10 plagues on Egypt, and then the Egyptians said, you've got to get out of here. We don't want you here. You're doing too much damage to us. And they left. Egypt was literally spoiled by the children of Israel. And the army of Egypt came out with their chariots, and God drowned them. He took the children of Israel through the Red Sea on dry land. But when the Egyptian army sought to follow, God just released the water, and they bogged down, and they all drowned in the water there. So God had the final say in every way. But what's unique is today, Pentecost Sunday and Shavuot occur on the same day. They did on the first Pentecost because 50 days from the Passover and 50 days from when Jesus rose from the dead on the Sunday there, they were the same day, and then 50 days later they were the same day. And so we see them joined together. It's not often that that happens. I've Googled to try and find out how many times that's happened, and I can't find out. But it would be rare. For several reasons. One, in the Jewish calendar, it runs on a 360-day year with adjustments. Our calendar runs on a 365-day year. Easter is a movable feast. You notice that Easter is never on the same weekend every year. It's always a different weekend. It wrecks us for the school. Makes a short term in the first term or a long term in there. And so it would be so much easier if Easter was a locked in. You know, it's going to be on the 1st of April, and that will be it, the weekend that has the 1st of April. But it doesn't happen that way. And then, of course, for the Jewish calendar, because that's on a 360-day, their day moves as well. So it's very rare that Shavuot and Pentecost would be celebrated on the same day. Now, why do I tell you that? Because some people believe the rapture could occur this weekend. Do I believe that? I don't know. In fact, I don't know when the rapture's going to happen. Will it happen this weekend? Because remember, in the United States, Sunday hasn't come yet. Sunday doesn't come till 3 p.m. this afternoon in Australia, and then runs through for 18 hours beyond that. So, and Jewish Shabbat runs 6 p.m. Friday to 6 p.m. Monday. Could it align? Yes, it could. But the point being, I don't know. Well, I believe it will happen within 10 years. I absolutely believe that. I would bet on it. I would bet my life on it. But it's in God's hands. If you're wondering what I'm talking about, let me just take a scripture with you this morning that talks about the rapture. And you say, why do you keep talking about the rapture? For a very good reason. I want you to be rapture ready. And I'll explain why as we continue on this morning. So, this is a unique Sunday. We've talked about the rapture a number of times before, but it is the next major event on the Christian calendar. So, what does the Bible tell us? In 1 Corinthians 15, 51, 53, we will have that on the screen there. Let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever, and we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies will be transformed into immortal bodies. And then in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. What am I talking about? If you're here this morning, you've never heard the term rapture, let me just explain something to you. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back, but he's not coming back to the earth. He's coming back in the clouds, the Bible tells us. And in an instant, those who are truly Christian with a relationship with God will be caught from the earth to meet him in the air. Those who died beforehand, who've been born-again Christians, their bodies will be brought out of the ground. Their soul is not there, but their soul will be rejoined to their bodies. And these bodies will be transformed into spiritual bodies. But it will still be a physical body, but it'll be very different. Obviously, if we're 1,000 metres in the air, it gets a bit chilly up there. 10,000 metres in the air, it gets very chilly up there. So we need transformed bodies, and then we go to be with him at that time in heaven. That is called the rapture. People will remain on the earth, and for 7 years they will go through a period of tribulation that the Bible in the book of Revelation talks about. It'll be a terrible time for the people who exist on the earth. It's the time of God's wrath. We will not go through God's wrath. God will take us from the earth. But I want you to go in the rapture. I want nobody to be left behind. And that's why I have brought it to you again and again. And I'm going to illustrate it again this morning with you, because I want you to know you can walk with a confidence before God that you can go in the rapture. Who goes? Those who have a living and vital relationship with God. You can't be casual about it. So Jesus tells a story in Matthew 25, which is written just for us. It wasn't written for the disciples. It wasn't written for the generations that have existed for the last 2,000 years. It's written for this time and this people. We're the last generation. We're the people whom Jesus wanted to send this message to. He doesn't send out emails. He doesn't send out letters. He does this. He gives it to us in Scripture. Let's read the Scripture in Matthew chapter 25 and reading from verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, 5 were wise. The 5 who were foolish didn't take enough olive oil for their lamps, but the other 5 were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they were aroused by the shout, "Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out to meet him." And the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the 5 foolish ones asked the others, "Please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out." But the others replied, "We don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves." But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other 5 bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he called back, "Believe me, I don't know you." In other words, they were rejected. "So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or hour of my return." That message is as fresh at this moment as when Jesus said it, and it's fresh for us, and we've got to take it to heart. We don't know the hour when he's coming, but if we're not prepared for it, we could miss out. These bridesmaids had oil in their lamps, all 10 of them. And they obviously probably lit the lamps at dusk, for say 6 o'clock at night. And they thought they had enough oil for when the bridegroom came, because that's what would happen, that the bride would be sort of prepared for the bridegroom, and then she would wait, and then the shout would come, the bridegroom's coming, and then he'd arrive and take her back to his parents' house where they consummate the marriage, and then there'd be a feasting of days that the celebrations would last. And so this bridegroom delayed his coming. All the girls had oil in their lamps. But after a period of, say, 6 hours, the oil ran out in 5 of the lamps. But 5 of them, it says, were wise. They had extra oil, and they added it to their lamps. They couldn't share it. They added it to their lamps so that their lamps would keep burning. But those who didn't have the, or who ran out of oil, had to go and buy it, and they missed out on coming to the wedding feast. Now, the point is, you've got to understand what's Jesus trying to teach here. Firstly, The lamps needed both oil and light to be what it was created for. This wasn't meant to be an object of art, although I think it's quite a smart-looking instrument. It's meant to be an object where fuel, in this case kerosene, but for them olive oil, rises through the wick, where a light is applied, and then a wick burns, which can be adjusted up or down. What's the point? The point is this. In Scripture, oil speaks of the Holy Spirit. So the fuel is the Holy Ghost. Light is what he brings. Revelation and truth. In Psalm 23, verse 4, David says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Rod and staff speak of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. The Word of God, what brings us illumination, light, and revelation. And we need to understand that. We need to walk, because in this day in which we live, there are things happening. Every day, if you read the news, there's something else happening, something usually bad, and you wonder, where's this world going? What's happening to this world? It's like it's falling apart. Don't focus out there. Focus on the truth. God's in control. We can trust him and we can walk with him. And so we need the revelation. We need the oil in the lamp and the revelation of the light burning. We need the Holy Spirit within us who reveals truth. That's what Jesus said. He will lead you into all truth. And we need the Word of God. Why? Because you can be misled if you don't know the Word of God. The devil can deceive you, can show thoughts in your mind. Oh, that sounds good. I'll believe that. But it's contrary to what the Word of God says. You cannot fall for that trick, otherwise you'll be led astray. Psalm 119 verse 5 says that your word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. Is that right? A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What does it say? Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. That's right. In other words, that's how we live. We need the lamp. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us so that our feet don't miss. I was watching a program on television last night about Mount Everest, and I think it was on the Discovery Channel. And they were looking for the bodies, a body of a man named Irvine. Back in 1924, George Mallory and somebody with him called Irvine went up Mount Everest, and they got very near the top, but nobody can prove they actually reached the top. And sadly, when they came off the mountain, remember, they didn't have the equipment that people have today to go up the mountain with the specialised clothing. And yes, they did have some oxygen bottles. They realised they needed the oxygen bottles to get up there. And when they came down, as what often happens in that region, the storms came, the wind, all that sort of thing, they lost their way. And Mallory fell to his death. And Irvine perished, but they cannot find his body. Up there, and up there, bodies are preserved because there's very low oxygen, it's very cold. And so they were looking for Irvine's body because they believe he had a camera that could prove, if they developed the photographs, could prove whether Mallory was the first to summit Mount Everest. But they searched and searched, and the problem was they found that rocks were very unsteady. And as they walked, rocks would climb. What I'm trying to say is, they had to be careful where they put their feet. They had these big spikes on their shoes to walk through the snow and ice and on the stones there. We need the surety of how we walk because of the Holy Spirit. He will lead us and guide us and show us truth if we will allow him to do that, that we don't get so cut off. I mentioned earlier 2 billion Christians in the world today. Jesus made a point in this story that 50% won't get in. That means out of 2 billion Christians, 1 billion Christians will go in the rapture and 1 billion will be left behind. Are they real Christians? Well, obviously not. They don't. Their relationship with God isn't right. They're not walking with God. And I don't judge because I don't know. Only God knows that. But I want you to be prepared. I want you to go on a rapture. That's very, very, very important in my agenda. The end time church is a lukewarm church, but there is also a church of brotherly love, Philadelphia and Laodicea. So I want you to be in the church of brotherly love. And a lot of people who think they will make it won't. But they will get a second chance in the tribulation, but they'll pray for it with their lives. It'll be a very serious time. What should you do? Firstly, relate to God. Jesus came to give us a relationship with God that Adam and Eve lost. He died to take your sin. And when we receive what he's done, we can have that relationship with God. But relationship needs to be connected. There's no point in me saying I have a relationship with my wife and I never visit her. I never go home. I live somewhere else. I don't ring her. I don't text her. I don't talk to her. What sort of relationship's that? Or with my daughter or son-in-law or my granddaughter, whatever. You've got to have relationship. God wants relationship. That's why Jesus came, so you can have a relationship with him. It's not enough to come to church. I believe church is hugely important. I believe here that we reach out for that wonderful release of God's presence into our midst, and that's why I want you to experience that and come to that so that you personally will set your heart on relating to God. And you can, because Jesus has provided that opportunity. Can I encourage you again? We have what's called life journals. You can buy them from our information desk for $7. And it's like a journal in there where you can write in it, but it tells you how to read the scripture and apply it to your life and how to see, hear God in it. It's how to hear God through the Holy Spirit. And I just encourage you, if you're not doing a life journal, please grab one. Start to apply it to your life. You may not be able to do it every day. That's okay. Don't get wound up. But take the time, because you'll learn to hear from God. And in the hearing, of course, then the second thing is you need to obey. We obey the word of God that we hear. And when we are obedient, that's when we are sons. The Bible says that those who are sons are those who hear the word and obey. And that's what we want to do. Third thing is recognize your identity. You know, we talk to people and say, we're trying to find out a bit about them. We say, well, where do you work? Where were you born? Whenever I meet somebody from South Africa, what town did you come from? Because I've been through lots of towns and cities in South Africa. But see, that's not your identity. You may have been born somewhere, Australia, South Africa, another country, New Zealand, whatever. But that's not your identity. Your identity is a son or daughter of God. That's your identity. And that's the identity you need to hold on to. Remember the story of the prodigal son that I shared with you and the things that he received when he came back that were important. He received, he received a great robe, but identified that as the robe of righteousness that Jesus gives to us. And we take that into our life every day. I put on the robe of righteousness every morning in prayer. But something else he gave us was the ring of identification. Just as the father gave to the prodigal his ring, which gave him authority and identified as a family member who could, it was like a credit card, he could use that as anywhere. But Jesus has given you a ring of identification. So who are you? I'm not saying I'm Australian, though I was born in Australia. I am a son of God. I have the robe of righteousness on so I can come into God's presence. I have the ring of identification that says, I belong to God. I'm part of him. Do you know, less than 100 years ago, if a man gave a girl an engagement ring, they agreed to get married, and he broke the engagement, it was a civil crime. She could sue him in court for breach of promise. Now, you never hear of it happening today, but that's how it was then. It was that serious. So we wear the ring. When Satan comes and says, you're a nobody, you say, well, that may be, but just have a look at the ring I wear. You might just want to have a look at this. I am a somebody. And what I'm trying to say, look, I don't care if you're the smartest person in the world. I don't care if you hold a position of authority in government or business, or you earn huge amounts of money. That's not who you are. That's what you do. Who you are is the important thing. Who are you? You're a son or daughter of the living God. And that's what we need to walk in. Otherwise, we'll find ourselves out on the limb there, and the enemy can come and say, who are you? Oh, well, you know, I'm. No, you've got to have a firm identification. This is who I am. Okay. Fourth thing is trust God and say so. Declare your trust for God. When you're going through situations and difficulties and struggles, don't whinge and whine. Say, God, I'm trusting you to take me through this. Psalm 37 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them through them all. So you can have a confidence in God. He's going to take me through. It's not fun right now, but I trust God to see me through the other end. I'm going to come out of this. God's going to be with me. I'm going to have a great testimony to share when we come to the end. And so you need to act like you trust God. Jesus said men's hearts would fail them for fear because of the tribulation to come. But as we walk through, we can be fearful in life because of the things that happen. Don't live there. Say, I put my trust in God. Do you know, self-pity in your life is probably one of the worst things you can live in. Why? Because you're denying God in your life. My daughter has a high sense of justice. And sometimes in growing up, things would happen to her that were totally unfair. And I used to say to her, sweetheart, life's not fair. You just got to live with it. You've just got to get over it. Now I wished I'd said to her, look, life is not fair. The world is not fair. But God, you can trust. Put your trust in God in what you're going through. So I sort of missed that. Sorry, Jen. And that we need to say, I trust God in all the things that I work for. Really, the antithesis to trust is to have self-pity. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares for me. God doesn't think well of me. He doesn't want to help me. Don't fall for that. That's where the enemy wants to get you. Put your trust in God. The last thing is to trim the wick. You see, this is burning away here. But what happens is at the top of the wick, it carbonizes. And if you don't trim the wick, that means sort of cutting the wick, eventually what will be there is black smoke. And the black smoke will coat the glass. And so the not only will the light not come with the same degree, that won't burn with the same brightness, it will eventually, you won't be able to see it because of the black on the glass. In our lives, we need to trim the wick because we live in a world that's bombarding us with a whole lot of stuff, bad words. It's just, to me, it's terrible. What's on TV today, the language that's used, it's not necessary. And by the way, I came across a channel the other day, or it's a streaming service. It's called Pureflix, P-U-R-E-F-L-I-X. And you could subscribe to that. Everything on it has been vetted for suitability. There are children's programs on it. There are good films on it, good clean films on it, and documentary, all sorts of stuff. Costs you, you can pay $8 a month or $12 a month if you want it on various TVs in your house. I'm just giving you a heads up on that. And if you find other things like that, let me know. I'm interested. Trim the wick. It's a daily exercise. These bridesmaids probably had to trim their wick at that time, put fresh oil in their lamps. So I'm saying to you, trim your wick daily. Deal with issues. Deal with unforgiveness. Deal with things you're wrestling with. Spend time in prayer. Keep your life clean. And then keep the oil in your lamp. That's the Holy Ghost. Keep the flow of the Holy Spirit flowing in your life. I've said to you, this is Pentecost Sunday. Celebrates the beginning of the church when people were filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues. And I want to encourage you this morning. I'm going to pray over you and just release the Holy Ghost. Let there be fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit in your life. Rise up. We were given the Holy Spirit not to say, hey, Ben, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. I can speak it. Want to hear? That's not what it's about. It was given not to wear as a badge, but to live as a life as a witness to Jesus Christ, to be able to live our lives in such a way. Listen, witnessing is more being than speaking. When people see that my life has a quality, then I get a right to speak into their lives. And that's how we should express ourselves, as the Holy Ghost flows within us. And so that's, my friends, where we are going. We are Pentecostal people. We should never forget that. Should never live it a lesser life than God intends. And can I just say this morning, if you're here and you've never settled in your heart the question of, are you a Christian? And you've heard me talk about the rapture. You say, oh, I want to go on that trip. I don't want to be left behind for the tribulation. Then it's as simple as asking Jesus Christ to be your Savior, for God to forgive your sins, and that you might be what we call born again. And when you do that and you're sincere in your heart, then the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. And then the next step, you know, we talk about water baptism, but also the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you can receive the Holy Ghost. You can make it a big day. In fact, you can also come and be water baptized if you really want to do all three things in one day. Why not? It could be exciting. So why don't we stand this morning? And let me just pray, and then we're going to release the people who are being water baptized to get changed while we worship for a moment. Let me ask you to do this as a symbol that we want you, Lord. Would you lift your hands to the Lord? Just lift your hands to God and say, Lord, I want to be freshly baptized in the Holy Spirit. So, Father, I come to you this morning. I thank you for Pentecost Sunday. I thank you that on that tremendous day at the beginning of the church, the Holy Spirit came and filled lives and set them on fire. And I'm praying that fresh fire will fall on our people, that we will be freshly baptized in the Holy Ghost. And if people haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, Lord, let their lives be touched with the Holy Ghost this morning. They might be released into baptism. I'm believing for the power of God this morning to touch people's lives. Fresh baptism, fresh fire, fresh flow of the Holy Ghost, fresh release of the purposes of God upon our lives, fresh ability to witness, fresh authority in our lives in such a dimension and such a flow of the Holy Ghost. Come now, I pray, Holy Spirit. Flow on the lives of people. Flow across this place afresh. Let there be fire and the Holy Ghost coming here this morning. And I thank you for it, Lord. I declare it over every person. We shall not be dim-witted Christians. We shall not be Christians who are not empowered. We shall not be Christians who don't believe. Lord, I'm praying for every person here that their hearts will be inclined towards you in the rapture and declaring, I'm going, but also inclined towards you and knowing you in a greater measure, walking with you daily. And then, Father, until that time, that we might truly be witnesses in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Let your hearts be hot for God, guys. All right, I want to just release those who are being water baptized this morning. Would you like to go and get changed right now? And then we will bring those people back in a moment and water baptize them. We ask that you join us for that. If you have to go, go. And God bless you. But if you can stay, please stay. This is a celebration time. And then after that, we'll be taking morning tea together. So let us sing. What? Come on, let's sing. Worship God. Thank you.